Here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here we are to say that He is our God. So many times we find ourselves distracted. We come to a Wednesday night service because we feel like we have to. We feel like everybody else is going, so we kind of have to follow a crowd. We feel like we kind of have to fit in the mold of this Freed Harbin environment. But I pray today that we can set our minds on things above and take away all the distraction that we may have inside of our life. So, it is a blessing to be here. I'm so thankful to be here. I'm actually surprised I'm allowed here. The last time I spoke or led a lesson, it was a very, very long lesson. And I was here for a very long time, and somebody went back and rang the bell, and I didn't know the bell meant to stop talking, so I kept talking, and it was a 50-minute lesson. It was really long, so I'm sorry about that. And the time before that, I had a lesson about Moses, so I was in Exodus, and I kept saying Ephesians. And there was this older lady that was, I think, in this side of the old building that kept flipping through the Bible, and I'm so sorry if you're here. So this time, I pray that I can deliver it the best that I possibly can, but let's let our hearts and our minds be focused on God. But as we start, we're going to look at love. Love and affection. So this Saturday, Valentine's Saturday? Okay. This Saturday is Valentine's, and it is one of those holidays, you know? When I was younger, I used to love Valentine's Day. I used to bring myself a little brown paper bag to elementary school, and all the girls would bring their little cards and would have like little pictures of Scooby-Doo and Charlie Brown, and they'll say stuff like, I love you. And it was great. I get to high school, things are a little different. Less love, but still some cards. I get to college, and there's no cards. There's no love. There's nothing. It is honestly one of the saddest days ever. It is a time where single men come together and just talk about how we don't need women. It's ridiculous. Last year, I had a friend named Andre Monroe. We stood around a keyboard and we took out our iPhones and we made a song called Bad Christian Shawties, Where You At? Or something like that. You guys pray for us. It's kind of like the guys would come together and we'll say, hey, my name is Midley. Hey, Midley, and I'm single. Oh, it's okay. It's kind of like we made this big group and it's like the He-Man woman haters. Have you guys ever seen this movie? And it's kind of we go around each other and we play these video games and we try to comfort each other. Say, you know, it's going to be okay. You're single, I'm single, this is awesome. But where does that come from? This need and this want to feel that you are not good enough. And you are not complete and you are not total until you have a partner. Until you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Well, I think it's because we've been lied to for a very long time. See, since we've been young, we've been taught that well, our life and who we are is not total until we have someone. This movie's called A Notebook. I haven't seen it because I'm a man. But if I did see it, I cried. And at the end of this movie, it is this older couple, and they're laying in, this older couple, and the older lady has Alzheimer's, and apparently, at the very end of the movie, it seems like the older lady remembers, and then they die together. It's really romantic. I mean, it's really cool. And then, it's this beautiful song, and you get into your feelings. But see, what if there was no happy ending? What if the older lady was like, I don't know who you are, get off me, creep, and they both die? For real, what if that happened? Or, for the people of the older generation, I had to Google this, but John Wayne and Marlene O'Hara, I guess. If this movie involved two people coming together and loving each other at the end, then this is the movie I'm talking about. I tried to find out what this movie was about or if they even fell in love at the end. So I asked Ray and he didn't know either. So if there isn't any love, I am so sorry. But honestly, Cinderella. Such a beautiful romantic story. But what if at the end the glass slipper broke because it was cheap glass and there's just no love? What if there was no love? See, this is our problem. we look at movies like this, and there's something that we call mirror neurons. Mirror neurons are things inside of our brains that flare up whenever we see an action. So whenever we're intensely watching this movie and we're loving it and we're just enjoying everything, we become the characters that we like. Now, this is the sad part. If the character does not have a happy ending, we start to cry.
Not we.
They start to cry. If the character has a person that you want them to be with, you are so attached to this person, being in love with this person, because you want yourself to find what they have. Mirror neuron is something that is very reflective. You put yourself in their shoes. You sometimes say that this movie would not be complete if it didn't end in love. We would not have a happy ending if we don't fall in love. We tell ourselves our life can't be complete. There is no possible way to have a happy ending until we have someone and we feel inadequate. And we feel worthless and we feel less. See, we have this big cycle of feeling like once I get here, once I have this, I'm going to feel complete. I'm going to feel great about myself. And it goes far beyond love. Bills. You know, once I pay these bills, it's smooth sailing. There's no stress. Once I pass this exam, it's going to be completely good. No stress. You know, once I finish this last can of dip or container of dip, I'm done. Once I finish this last can of, or not can, but yeah, can of beer or a bottle of alcohol or a cigarette, once I finish that last one, I'm good. You know, once I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, my struggle with pornography and masturbation is going to be gone. I'm done. I'm clear. Once I get swole, this is something I tell myself, once I get swole, I'm going to be confident. Or hey, once I get skinny, once I lose a ton of weight, I'm going to feel good about myself. Once I graduate from college and surround myself with good people, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be good enough for God. Then I'll be good enough for myself. So we place this wall. This wall is this hope that we have. And once we go over this hope, once we get to a place where there is just peace, where there is just complete happiness, once we overcome whatever it is, once we add whatever it is, we have peace. And that's a problem. Because we are stressing in life until we get into this place that we have put into our head. So our entire journey is hoping that we can get beyond this wall so that we can have perfect happiness here. Whatever you think you are lacking, whatever you think you are missing, I want you to think about that. Whatever eats you up inside, I want you to take it and put it in your hands. And I want you to fill in the blank. May the hope of whatever you feel like you are missing fill you with all joy and peace as you believe once I receive this or become this, you may overflow with hope by this refreshing relief and power that is given to you when you accomplish this. If it fits, if your hope fits in there, there's a problem. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have made our hopes our God because we have found our peace in the future instead of being content in the God that we have right now. It's very scary. It's very hard to be. It's very hard to get out of. It's a cycle that completes and continues to repeat itself. Who does God want you to be? We often say, you know what? Midley, you're wrong. Whenever I'm going through a rough time, I just always say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What was Paul even saying? And what are we saying when we say that? When we are going through rough time, we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are we saying, I can't wait to overcome it? I can't wait to get to a place where this struggle is not here anymore. Look at this. Paul was talking and writing to a congregation and saying, thank you so much. But he says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. Pardon me. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance, whether well-fed, hungry, or whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, are you saying, I cannot wait till God just takes this away? Or are we saying, in this current situation, in this hardship, in this rough time, I'm going to be okay? Whenever we are looking at basketball games, last year I was in a basketball team called the Dream Team. We were terrible. We were a ragtag team. It was Zakai. We would lose all the time. But then we got this coach named Alex Thornton and Brett Simpson, and they just whoop us into shape. And we would play these basketball games, and we were starting to win. This guy named Noah Van, probably over there somewhere. Noah Van would come to me and says, Midley, we're living the dream. I'm like, all right, bro, calm down. But I was so pumped, and I was like, yes. And I'll go in my room, and I'll pray, and I'll say, God, let us win. I want to win so bad. See, God, I can do all things through you who strengthen me. And the next day, we won. And it was great. And then I went back, and I was like, God, come on, do it again. You got me? I can do all things through you who strengthened me. And then we lost. Did God not care? What about tests? When you study your hardest and you're like, all right, God, I've studied. I did all that I could have done. God, I can do all things through you who strengthens me. Please help me. I'm going to pass the test because God's with me, right? And then you fail the test. Where is God in your failures? Where is God when you do not feel complete? Where is God when you mess up? What about in your struggles? In your struggles, you're like, okay, God, I'm going through this rough time. Just take it away. What happens when it's still there? When you still are tempted? Does God not care? Guys, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We take it in the wrong context. It's not about winning basketball games. It's about losing basketball games and saying it is okay because God is here. It's not about passing the test, but failing the test and saying, God's here with me. I don't have to worry. It's not about looking at your struggles and saying, I can't wait till it's over, but saying, in my struggles right now, I'm going to be okay. See, we chase these tomorrows. We say, tomorrow, tomorrow, I can't wait for tomorrow. But the bad part about that is tomorrow has a tomorrow. And tomorrow's tomorrow has a tomorrow. So we're just chasing this race that we can't run. Guys, the scariest thing we can say is, you know, once I become this person, once I get over this hard part of my life, once I give up this struggle, then I'll evangelize. Once I'm done with all this school stuff, then I'll be a Christian. That's scary. Exodus 3, God is talking to Moses, and God is talking to Moses through a burning bush, and he says, Moses, Moses, and Moses says, here I am. He says, here I am. Where are you? God says, Moses, I want you to go. I want you to go and save my Israelites. I want you to go and save my people. Take them out of the hands of Pharaoh. Take them out of the hands of Egypt, and I want you to save them. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Who am I to do this? Who am I to talk to Pharaoh? And then he goes on and he explains how he is slow of speech and he has something in his speech that he's not confident about, where he doesn't feel complete. God was not enough for him to feel complete. And sometimes God is not enough for us to feel complete. But we feel like we lack something. But what about what God told Paul when he had a thorn in his flesh? 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. God is enough for you. God is enough for me. See, God went to Moses and said, I need you. I need you to go. And God is looking at you and saying, I need you to go. I need you to go to do this. I need you to do that. But we tackle ourselves so bad and we put ourselves in a bubble and we say, I can't get out of this. I'm not complete yet. We go on and we see that God tells Moses, tell them that I am sent you. The great I am sent you. Guys, as we look at the great I am, we have to know that the great I am is ready to help you and to make you feel complete. But when we look at the great I am, we need to ask ourselves, am I? Am I ready? Do I find my confidence in God? Am I made whole in God, or am I lacking a piece that I'm longing to find? Do I feel worthy enough to do what I need to do? Am I stressing about things that I can't control? Or am I giving my anxieties to God and being content in bed today? Pardon me. I tell you, I just need some water sometimes. There is nothing wrong with being happy and being excited about God being there in the future, but there's a huge problem with forgetting that God is here today. I stress a lot. I stress a ton. I really try really hard to keep a positive attitude and to make life fun and to not feel like there's anything going wrong in life, but inside we all face battles. I hate to admit this, but I try to play it cool and be happy, but honestly, deep inside, it's just a war. I stress daily about things I can't control. And it gets me so bad where I'm in my bed and I just can't take it and my heart's thumping and it hurts when I see, you know, Christian looking at me like, hey, you okay, man? I'm like, hey, I'm okay. And you all have your own struggles that you stress about. But sometimes when you're chasing this wall that you build your hope on, when you're saying, I lack something and I can't be good enough and until I get past this wall, that's when I'll be okay. You chase it and you chase it and the wall finally stops and you hit it. This past Monday, I was stressing about this lesson and I had videos to do and all this other stuff. And I was playing video games. I was playing Mario Kart with Christian. And it wasn't a tough game. I was just going around a corner and then everything stopped. The controller dropped out of my hands and my head went back and I had to grab onto Christian. The stress in my life, I didn't feel complete. So I found my confidence in what I had to do. I didn't feel whole. I didn't find my contentment in God. I found my contentment in the things that I had or the things that I lacked. And I was running. I was stressing out so much that it almost killed me. I don't know what you go through. I don't know what your wall is. And I really don't know what you believe is beyond this wall or behind this wall. It's nothing. And I'm so sorry to tell you that. I really like to be the person that gives good news. But guys, there is nothing beyond this wall. This wall that we say we need to overcome before we be a Christian, before we need to be this perfect person, before we feel complete. That's God. Whatever you feel like you like, just let it go. I am so sorry that you can't find perfect happiness here. I've searched for a very long time, my entire life, I've searched for it. I've searched for happiness in the things I like to do, and music and dancing and arts and stuff. It's not there. Because the struggles come back and it stinks. You feel empty, you don't feel good enough. I don't know if you feel like you are not a good enough person because you feel like you don't look good enough, or because you don't have a boyfriend, or because you don't have a girlfriend. or because you don't feel whole, because the way your parents treated you just tore you up. But I want you to realize that God is here today. God is here right now. There is nothing beyond this wall that you build. There is no strength that lies between anything in this earth. I have to tell myself here daily that there is no perfect happiness here, but there is perfect peace. And that perfect peace is in the arms of God. I'm tired. I know you are too. We've been running for a very long time. And I pray you don't hit your wall. Because when you hit it, it hurts. If you would like to be baptized, if you're tired of running without God, if you feel inadequate, if you feel like you are missing something, if you know that God wants you to be someone and you're not, remember what God told Moses, that I will be with you. If you need prayers and encouragement from the congregation, please come forward as together we stand and sing the song of invitation. Thank you.